You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, please. Book of Colossians. We began the book of Colossians on the first Sunday of the year, January 7th, and I'm in no hurry to get through it. It's such a valuable book. It so much mirrors the day in which we live. Colossians chapter 2 today. Colossians is located in the country of Turkey. Turkey is where you have the river Euphrates begins, and it goes through three countries. And you'll see that it's surrounded by Iraq and Iran and Syria. And to the south, of course, you have Egypt. And all those countries of the world one day are going to go to the Battle of Armageddon in Israel. And they're all going to fight against Israel. God's word declares that. And in addition to that, he said that Euphrates River in those three countries, it merges also with the Tigris River. Those two mighty, mighty rivers. God said he's going to freeze up, he's going to dry up that river. And they're going to march with hundreds of millions of soldiers into Armageddon and fight against the people of God. You say, well, what's the use of living? Well, because God's not going to allow it to finish without his intervention. God's still on the throne, and God knows that. This church, Paul never went to this church, attended this church. He tells us that in the book. He's writing, and he's gone to Ephesus. That's a seaport town. This town was a tri-city area. Hierapolis and Laodicea church and Colossae. Those three churches were in the wool. Those three cities were in the wool business, in the dye business, 120 miles away. They'd bring their goods. And I know this is review for our people, but they'd bring their goods to Ephesus and then ship it out. It was a very influential city, Colossae. A lot of money flowing. You maybe could have called it the Silicon Valley. It was doing great. The church was established. In fact, we know they were Christians. We saw that last week, that their faith in Jesus Christ in chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. They knew the Lord Jesus. But the problem at Colossae, they began to merge the gods of the society with their church. And they began to add Christianity in the gods. And we have reviewed this so many times. It's old Armitis, the goddess. And we saw the goddess Cynthia, and we saw the god Zeus, and we saw the goddess Nike. And they'd worship at these gods and then merge them into their church. It's sort of like the city of Nineveh. Nineveh, for a decade, was the largest city in the world. And God sent a preacher there to preach to them and try to get their hearts right. 600,000 people got right. But it's just temporary, and about 100 years later, God said, okay, Nineveh, I'm done. And he had to bring judgment on that city of Nineveh. It's all located in this area of Iraq and Iran. And God cannot allow us to get away with compromise. Compromise destroys. And so this church, though it was affluent and the city was affluent, Jerry told me last week, he lived right here in Turkey for many years, but this city is now in ruins. All the dirt has covered the city. Some artifacts are, they've dug up, but they've left it alone. Why? Because whenever you reject God, you always announce the doom to an individual's life, or a marriage, or a family, or a church, or a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So we pick it up, and last week we were looking at this warning. In fact, look last week here, chapter 2, verse number 4. And this I say, lest any man, and the word last week was beguile you. He finds that same word in verse 18. To beguile you is like an umpire who calls you out. Or in basketball, you have two technicals and they throw you out. You're out of the game. We don't lose our salvation, but we do lose rewards that we can offer to Jesus Christ. You cannot merge that city of Nineveh. What they did, they began to worship a god from the rivers of fish. And so the sign that we see is exactly what many of our church peoples in America today, they have that sign of the fish. But that sign of the fish was originated with a false goddess. And so here we have, God says, you beguiled yourself. You've been called out. You struck out. You've been thrown out of the game. And don't lose. And he talks about that in verse 18. That reward that God has for you. And so he says, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, persuasive words. Hey kids, here's what they do. You go to school tomorrow. You went to church? That's a stupid thing. That's a dumb thing to do. Why would you go? That's enticing words. Someone ridiculing the house of God. And by the way, it will happen at your work. Hey, what'd you do this weekend? Man, I got loaded, man. I got drunk or I'm high. Oh, we had a time. Yeah, what'd you do? I went to church. I had a guy yell at me and ask for money. That's what I did. You see, enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, Paul wasn't there, yet I'm with you in the spirit. And they were saved people. Watch this. Join in beholding your order, your arrangement of things, and your steadfastness of your faith. Always rebuke cannot be always negative. He said, I believe you're saved. He said, I know you're saved, your faith in Christ. He said also in chapter 1, verse 22, 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. But you see, it's up to me, my decision. I have to make sure that I'm rooted and grounded. In fact, he says that in verse number 7. You see agriculture, rooted. And you see architecture built up. And you see academics taught. It's all right there in verse number 7. And so he wants us to get rooted and established, and he wants us to build up. The deeper you go with the foundation, the higher you can go. Your life, all of us here, God wants us to root down. That's through the word of God, through prayer, through confession of sin, through getting right with God. And we get rooted. I told you last week, I enjoy so much planting flowers and bushes and trimming the trees. And I crawl up there in those trees. I love it. I just enjoy it. Mowing the lawn. I love all those things. But you have to go down before you can go up. And our soil, I always prepare the soil so well. Back in January, I got my soil all ready in different areas in the yards and began to plant my flowers and plant these. Why? And they're growing that. Why? Because we rooted them. We put them down and there's nourishment in there that made sure they had that. And rooted agriculture and built up architecture and established. Now, we're in verse 8 today. And I want you to read, if you will, with me, verse number 8, one verse today. He told us, beguile, and now he begins with another letter, B. Ready? Let's read it together. Begin. Beware. Rarely do I preach a part two, but this is part two, warning to the church at Galatia. And he says to beware. Well, we've seen those signs around here. We got this sign right here. Beware of dog. Now, we don't have a dog at our house. But you know, because if you heard me preach, the cats live in my backyard. They're wild cats. People feed them, and they're all over Dr. Kellogg, the neighborhood. Brother Matty, right there on our area where we all live. They're everywhere. And it's just beware. You know, in addition, every night they have a party in my backyard out of half a dozen cats. The possums are in my backyard. And they visit with one another. Do you know what else is normally in my backyard at night? a skunk. This is the Silicon Valley, but you know they have their rights. Babies don't, but these things right here. And it says, we don't have a dog. Brother Kellogg has a dog, and he said, I'd be willing to borrow my dog to you. Well, that brings other problems. And I've only got four shovels, so I think you can figure that out. I think I'm going to post this on our gate. Our house is white and black. This is a match perfect. He said, you don't have a dog. Oh, yes, we do. My wife indicated this to me years ago. I'm a pastor, which means shepherd. And I'm a German. I'm a German shepherd. It would be a true sign. Brother Hudson, he lives on a farm. And they were telling me yesterday, you have one dog, is that right, little Fifi? You have one dog? How many? Eight dogs. They have eight dogs. Eight dogs. Now, I was talking to your wife yesterday. You were right there. Those dogs are not welcoming committee, are they? If I drove on your property, they would. And you know, better read the sign. Beware. That's amazing. The guy, a lot of times, here I am, a grown man, a German shepherd, and I'm afraid of that little poodle right down there. Brother Tony Hudson, he's a bulldog. His wife's a chihuahua, and he's afraid of her, I'll tell you that right now. Beware. You know, and by the way, this week, Brother Hudson always sits there. And even this morning as I preach, you want to say something, grab my microphone, just have them over. And I'm serious as a heart attack. You can say anything you want while I'm preaching. Just don't give it to those two girls over there because they got something to say as well. But you know, but don't start yet. Let me just get into this a little bit. Beware. That's an invitation to listen. And I'm asking you this week, pastor and people alike, I want to listen. I don't want to go to coffee in the morning during preaching time. I want to be here. I want to hear what these preachers have to say. I want to hear our staff teach. I want to be here at night. I have a desire to listen to the word of God. It's an invitation. Listen, you ought to listen to your parents. Listen to your mother. Say, there's no dad in the home. Listen to your mother. There's no mother in the home. Listen to your dad. You know, no mom and dad. Listen to your grandparents. Someone's raising you. Listen. I invite you to listen. Listen to a teacher. Listen to a principal. Listen to the police officer. It's amazing how many politicians say, we don't want the police. Defund the police. And Nancy Pelosi, first thing they do when her husband has a problem, they call the police. To the guy who was invited in the house for her husband. Connect the dots. You can do that yourself. When the Bible says something to you and to me, it's an invitation. Would you open your ears and listen? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's why, young people, you have made such a wonderful choice. Get in on that bus every Sunday morning and ride the bus to North Valley Baptist Church, your church. And coming to hear in your services, in this service, the word of God. And there's a beware, there's a warning to each of us today. This week, I'm going to ask our listeners, to our guests, to listen. Listen. I want to listen. But not only do I see here an invitation, beware. Look at this phrase. Lest any man, that's the same statement you see in verse number 4. I say, lest any man should beguile you. You listen to verse number 8, lest any man. That's an influence.
That's right.
Sir. And in life, just not the bus kids, every one of us come under the influence of people every day. Right. So, I'm my own man. No, someone taught you to be that way.
Preacher said, I don't want to be around that old time religion. Oh, those guys, so opinionated. Who you, you're listening to somebody that's taught you that. Amen. Every time. Now I'm old man. No, you're not. We're all influenced by somebody. Ye did run well, the church at Galatia said. Paul said, I won you to Christ. If it were possible, you plucked your eyes out. I have this eye disease. You plucked out your eyes. He says, if I become your enemy, that because I've told you the truth, you treated me as an angel of God. But he said, ye did run well. Who hath hindered thee? The who's in life are going to determine your end. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. We've never begun anything in this church, 48 years, a school, a college, a publications, a bus ministry. We've never begun anything without what is the end result. We have lived for the end. Ms. Treeman and I came here 48 years ago on March the 1st. And when we came here, there was nothing here. We didn't own a building. We didn't own a property. We didn't own a psalm book. We didn't own an offering plate. We didn't own a communion cup. We didn't own anything. But I tell you something, I knew I'd written it down for 2 years prior to that. I've been writing down what I believe. I brought it to you and said, if I come here, this church rejected me. You're too young. You have no experience. This church rejected me. No young. All of them were 13 people are less in attendance. You have to live in the nursery at the church. We cannot pay you. And when this church called, it was 5 months old. I said, let me tell you something. Here's how old I am, and I have really no preaching experience. And Ed Brownlee, God bless his soul, he's in heaven, chairman of my deacons at that time. Ed Brownlee said, if you're God's man, we want you. That's been 48 years ago. But we never started anything around here without knowing where we wanted to end up. The end of the thing is better than the beginning. I did not want to have a compromising church. Rock and roll was still kind of new. It came in the 50s here. And in the 50s, we would have never thought back in the 70s you'd want rock and roll in the church. But that's the thing that's going now. But I decided long ago before I ever came here, I want to have a church that's speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to God. I knew we wanted a singing church. I knew we wanted a soul winning church. I knew we wanted a separated church. I knew we wanted a scripture church. And I put only the King James Bible be used around here. And for 48 years, that's all. I knew we wanted a church that trained people to be servants of Jesus Christ. I knew that. And we've been ahead. And that's always been a battle, because wherever you draw the line, that's where the fight is. Beware. That's an invitation to listen. Lest any man. That is an influence. You have to be careful. You know, the wrong influence today is so dangerous. The wrong influence. Look what it says. Beware lest any man spoil you. Spoil you. What does that mean? To capture. All of us have the potential of being captured. Outside of your marriage bonds. Here you're married and all of a sudden some floozy wants to capture you. Or some real strong, muscular looking guy wants to capture you and destroy your marriage. That's to take you and arrest you or to pull you from something. There's people that constantly are being pulled out of our churches all over America. And we're finding, when I came here, we didn't have a pulpit like this. We had to build one eventually. But I tell you what, I knew I wanted a pulpit. We don't want to take this thing out of here and have a dance band in here. I don't want to remove those chairs and not have a choir. I don't want to frontline singers. We have tried to now in this society make our church to accommodate the city. I'm not here to accommodate the city. I'm here to help change the city with the gospel that Jesus saves. You did run well. Who? And here's a who. Lest any man should spoil you, capture you. Illustration. Greatest country in all the world is the United States of America. I don't believe that, you white Anglo-Saxon preacher, you that came to this country and pulverized this country. All right, then why in the last 3 years
have 7.4 million people coming here illegal. Because it's the greatest country in the world. Hello, I know we're online. They're not trying to get into China. Not 7.4, even legally, they're not trying to get in China. They're not trying to get in Iran and Iraq, and they're not trying to get in Turkey. Hold it. You say, well, I don't know if you should be saying this. Well, somebody's got to say it. Greatest country in the world. Do we have problems? Yes. That man that's born of woman is full of troubles as sparks fly upward. Sure. This country has problems. That's why God gave us a church. Government's not the answer. The church is the answer. But if we're not careful, we get spoiled. Well, I went to the internet, and this guy, he's really cool, man. He's really hip. He's really, well, if you want cool and hip, that's why I have these guys up here. I failed you, haven't I? I failed you. I know I failed you. I tell you about something about these guys and the other preachers on our staff and the other men and women of God. They're godly people. Most of them don't look very good, but they're godly people. They follow their leader. 7.4 million people have not even tried to get into Canada. Why would you want to go there? And by the way, thank God for you preachers that are there. But it's getting harder for you in Canada. We think it's hard here. It's difficult there. They don't want God. They don't want God's man. They don't want God's house. They'll try to do anything to legislate anything against the people of God. We saw this with COVID. They said, hey, you can't say the governor of Kentucky. That used to be a great state. They had a great governor. Teachers union got him out. They got this new fella. His dad was governor there years ago. And this new governor says, okay, you cannot sing in church. Well, I have a command to sing. But we're going to have to take a stand for what we believe. And one day, I'll tell you what, friend, it's going to cost a price to stand for Jesus Christ. It'll cost you. Because the influence of this world is we don't need God in America. We don't need God in our homes. We don't need God in our schools. We don't need God. Oh, yes, we do. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Our schools have been hotbeds for atheism and heathenism. I find that today there's an invitation, and I find there is an influence. But lastly, can I show you this? There's an instruction. Beware. That's the invitation. Listen up, lest any man spoil. That today is the warning to each and every one of us that we might listen up, and not only listen up, but give heed. But look what he says here then, through philosophy. That's the instruction. What do you mean by instruction? Well, the instruction is simply this. Philosophy is a sum of ideas. And everyone in this room has a sum of ideas. And God says, you beware lest anybody spoil you, capture you through philosophy. What kind of philosophy? Well, it tells you right there. After the philosophy of vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments, the ABCs of the world, and not after Christ. So when a teacher or a friend says there is no God, or they try to redefine marriage as a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, that's not Bible. That's philosophy after the world. We have things on our ballot every year, and there'll be an election here this week. And when you vote, government thinks they're the answer. Give us billions of more, and we'll fix the problem. We have a governor that said, when he was the mayor of San Francisco, give me 10 years and I'll stop homelessness. How you doing, brother? And now he's doing it to the state. You see, it's my job. Blessed is he. Watch it now. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. God says he'll bless me. But you have to evaluate, are they poor or are they lazy? You know what I've done for 1974, March the March the 14th, I entered into ministry, 1971. And can I tell you what I've done for 7 days a week? My wife has testified, basically 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a day. We've worked. Because if a man will not work, he should not eat. I've never had to take a dime from government. You say, well, you're paid a good salary. Well, I'm paid enough. I'll tell you that right now. You're right. But I remember the day on, what's the day today? The 3rd? On March the 2nd, 1976, I said to my wife, I'm going to build you an office. And we had a little building we were renting, and it's a little lobby. And I made a little pony wall. And all we had was one building, two bathrooms, and that lobby. And I built your office. I said, okay, now, hon, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire you full time. That means like 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And if the church has the money, I'll pay you $25 a week. And for the first year or two, I guess it's two, that's all I paid her. But she's never had to collect money from the government to live or stand on the corner begging people for food. And we've all given food to people along the pathway of life. I see someone that has a condition that they're poor and they don't work. But this able-bodied people not working, that's not the Bible. That's new philosophy in America. And we're getting spoiled to think that's the way. Getting quiet in here now. And the Bible says, the instruction is, they're going to, after the, hey, what was the tradition of men in Colossae? Our gods. We have gods here. The God of sports, the God of money, the God of prestige, the God of yoga. We don't have to go back there, but we were there several weeks ago because yoga is Hinduism. We're trichotomous, body, soul, spirit, but yoga is two-part, not three-part. Hey, there is a spiritual part of man. And the order is you're governed by your spirit, which tells your mind, which tells your body what to do. The alarm goes off. You say, I'm staying in bed. Well, you listen to your body. You start to talk to yourself in your mind. Say, I'm too tired. I think I'll go back. No. You begin with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God guide you. And the Spirit of God will say to your mind, it's time to get up. And the body will say, I don't want to get up. But the Spirit and the mind will say, get out of bed, you lazy lug. But we divorce that. It's dangerous. Dangerous. The traditions of men, the world's ideas. And he says, beware lest these world's ideas, it's anti-God, anti-home, anti-marriage, anti-church, anti-America. And the world will try to take away those last three words. And not after Christ. The only hope you young people have up there, and you young that are in here, high school and above in here, and adults, the only hope we have is God. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Only hope we have is Christ.
Amen.
We sang when I was a kid, Christ for, it's on my prayer journal, Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I'll shout and sing. For to me to live is Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How about Colossians chapter 4, verse 3? Christ who is our life. My life is not my bank account. My life is not my prestige. My life is not things. I want my life to be, my life is Christ. I was preaching in another state this week, Monday and Tuesday morning. Came home Tuesday night late. And there was four preachers that morning, and I was the last, but the second one was a man I've known for years. He's 93. And he said, I'm telling you something. I'm loving my life. I'm just loving my life. Because you know what? You say, what if you're going to die today? Well, then I'm dead. I've lived 93 years. He said, I recently got together with my younger brother. He's 90. And my older brother, who's 97. And I said to him afterwards, I said, it's an amazing thing you talked about that. I just told my church that. I'm loving my life serving God and this church, like I said last Sunday night, more than ever in my life. I've always loved it. But next Sunday, I may not be here. Next Sunday, this ticker that's already had over 2.5 billion beats, and every beat has 4 ounces of blood that's thrown through my body. This old beat, this heart's doing real good. I mean, it's beating away, and it beats at night. But guess what? One of these days, it's going to beat the last time. It's going to be worn out. Or I'll roll over in bed, and there'll be a stroke, and I'll be gone. Or as my sister did in the election of 2020 that night, all happened in Tennessee. She rolled over in bed, healthy, and died. One of these days, it's all going to stop. And if it stops this week, God's been so good to me. I've been saved 67 years, and Jesus never fails. He's never failed me. He's been there. I have failed him. You know what I'm trying to challenge us today? Just beware. You have so much life to live for, but it's going to cost you. You're going to have to make a decision. If I see a song like a sign like this, I don't care what you put up. It says, beware of dogs, raccoons, skunks, cats, squirrels. I'm staying in the house. I don't like any of those things. Now, you can. It's all right. That's why I'm here, to be a pastor, to try to straighten you out. I'm just saying, I wish this would stay right there. Let's leave it there. Beware. Because all of your lives, in every section, here and over here and over here, all your lives are so valuable to God. I read the story about a week ago. I was studying for something for our Sunday school class 2 weeks ago. And a man invented something. I'll be done. A man invented these little blocks. And these little blocks had little, 4 little bubbles on each of them. And you could lock them together. It was awesome. He invented it in 1933. But in 1957, the business was failing. Never caught hold. In 1957, he went out and killed himself. His wife said he had such a promising future. So much ahead. Brilliant mind. Could vent things. He made these little blocks with 4 little bumps, and they hooked together. A company bought that called Legos. I don't need to say any more about what happened. It took off, and it's made billions. They bought the patent, and they perfected it. He could possibly still be alive today. He'd be older. But he missed out. He wasn't aware of depression, discouragement, failure. Failure is a good thing if you learn from it. I love you folks so much. I'm trying all I can to make us aware of the fact there's danger even in the church. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, there's wrong philosophies coming into our churches, wrong doctrine, and compromise will never save a church. A church never comes back from that road of compromise. A nation is going to soon be too far gone. I pray that we'd beware. Our heads are bowed. Are you aware of the fact that it's appointed unto men once to die? And if you die without Jesus Christ, you will not go to heaven. There are 2 places in the Bible, heaven or hell, but you can be saved. You can trust Christ. I wonder in this building, from the lower floor to the upper floor, every row, how many could lift your hand with no one looking? I am saved. If I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven. Could you slip your hand up? I know I'm saved. You may put them down. How many say, I'm not sure, but I'd like you to pray that I come to know Christ. Pray for me, Brother Treber. I'll not name your name. May not even know it. Pray for me. I want to make sure heaven's my home. Would you lift your hand all over the balcony, all over the lower floor? Raise your hand. I want to be sure I'm saved and know Christ. Thank you. Who else? I want to be sure I'm saved on my way to heaven. I'm trying to warn you, there is a heaven. There is a hell. Last request, you say, would you include me in prayer? I'm going down the road. That's not a good road right now. I'm not paying attention to the warning signs. Please pray for me. All over the house. All over the house. Would you slip your hands up? Yes, hands are going up. Thank you. Thank you. They put them down. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I thank you so much for these people that I love so very much. Help us to leave here today with a desire to beware. Pay attention. Pay attention to the wrong influences and walk away from them. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Wake us up, God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.